have your Bibles, Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. This is a little bit about what we're going to be doing in just a few moments, and that is taking communion together. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Poured out for many. Verse 25, "Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Father, I just pray this morning, as we have gathered together in this house, that the Holy Spirit will speak to us, O God. Father, we need to hear from you this morning. Father, we have not gathered religiously this morning. We have gathered to hear from your Holy Spirit. We want you to speak to us, O God. We want our hearts to be molded into the image of Jesus Christ. Your heart, O God, extended to us. Lord, I just pray this morning. I pray this morning that we will have a glimpse of your heart displayed to us this very day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to concentrate this morning on verse number 24. "And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for just a few." No, that's not what it says. It says, "poured out for many." Listen to this verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish." How many know it's not God's will that anyone perish? "But that all should come to" what? "Repentance." Jesus didn't die on the cross for just a few. Jesus died on the cross for the whole world. He wants every single person on this planet to come to a place of repentance and know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Can you say amen this morning? Now, I know there's some doctrines out there that preach limited atonement, that God has already picked the people that are going to be saved. He has already picked them, and there's nothing you and I can do about it. He's already chosen them to be saved. But friends, I don't believe that that doctrine is in the Bible. I believe whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. We still have a mission to complete while we're on this earth. Hallelujah. man.
Right.
Hell was not made for man. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. And I want to say this, it grieves the heart of God when people reject Jesus and the sacrifice he made on Calvary's cross. The Spirit of God is grieved when people decide in their own hearts that they don't need Jesus. And I believe this morning we as believers need to enter into his heart for the lost. His heart for the lost. Listen to Jeremiah. He laments in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. How many know there's a lot of people in Creston? There's a lot of people in this valley. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are still not saved. Jeremiah says, "For the wound of the daughter of my people, my heart is wounded. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold on me." He cries out, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of the daughter of my people not been restored? Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." What a burden that Jeremiah had for the people of Israel. Even though they had rejected God and his plan, Jeremiah cries out, "Oh, that my head were waters, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Friends, we need a burden for the lost. We need a burden for the lost. As Jeremiah wept for the people of Israel, may we weep, intercede, and pray for the lost souls in this town and in this valley and across this nation. And I want to zero in on who we need to be praying for. You say, who should we be praying for? If there's ever a group that we need to be praying for, it's your grandchildren. Can I say that again? If there's ever a group that we need to be praying for this morning, it's your grandchildren. It's your children, the teenagers, and the young ones in our town that Satan is targeting to destroy. I know that there's some old geezers in this town that have yet to accept Christ. But they've heard the gospel for 100 years. It's time to focus in on the youth and the children of this town that need Jesus. Listen, just a few days ago, a 9-year-old girl in Calgary commits suicide. Why? Listen to me this morning. Why would a young person, that young, hate their own life. If they were not targeted by Satan himself.
Come on.
While we are wasting our time on so many pursuits, our children and our grandchildren are going to hell.
That's true.
Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. I should be a little softer.
No.
No way.
Yell it. It's the truth. Let's hear his good news.
The people of this community are shaken.
Yes.
That a young person that young could take their own life. My wife was in Pilos, you know Pilos. And as she was there, she heard a young girl screaming, only, what, 4 years old? 4 or 5 years old? You know what she was screaming? I want to kill myself!
What?
Isn't that what she was screaming? I want to kill myself! Why? What a four... You see, we're sleeping, folks. We got our head in the sand. And we're sleeping, having our little church services and doing our little thing. Friends, we've got to take our heads out of the sand. A generation is going to hell, and what are you and I going to do about it? My wife was shaken. The mother ran over to the child in the grocery store. As she was screaming out, I want to kill myself. Why? What a child. 4 or 5 years old, in our own town, want to kill themselves. You know what? You and I, us old folks, because I'm old now, we're going to be held responsible if we've done nothing. He said, I came for a Good Friday service. I'm giving you a Good Friday sermon. And it's the heart of God. We've got to do whatever we can. We've got to pray like we've never prayed before. We've got to reach out like we never reached out before. And we've got to save those that are perishing. And it includes these young hearts and young lives that are under the target and oppression of the enemy. What's happening with your grandkids? I'm not asking what's happening with your kids. I'm asking you what's happening with your grandkids. What's happening in their hearts? Did you know that our towns and our cities are filled with people that are addicted to every kind of drug? Satan is targeting them because he knows if he can get them addicted to drugs and alcohol, that he can lead them and guide them the way he wants. But there's something we can do about it. I said there's something we can do about it. Jesus lives in us. Hallelujah. Greater is he that's in us than he that is within the world. And I say in the name of Jesus, devil, you're defeated in Jesus' name. Take your filthy hands off of our children. Take your filthy hands off of our young people. They belong to Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 9 says, and when he saw the crowd, you know, if I were you, and my grandchildren were not serving the Lord, I wouldn't miss a prayer meeting. I'd be on my knees fasting and praying until you couldn't see me if I turned sideways. I would not give up until every single one of them is in this church or some church serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. With their hands in the air worshiping God. Friends, we have a right to declare that our children and our grandchildren belong to Jesus Christ. Can somebody shout amen this morning? Matthew chapter 9. When he saw the crowds, he went to Walmart. No, that's not what it says. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. Because, why? Why did he have compassion on them? Because they were harassed. Did you know that our kids are being harassed? By this? Can you see this? It's a cell phone. It's a smartphone. They're being harassed on social media. They're being bullied in different places through social media. The enemy has a target, and he's using the internet and social media to destroy our youth and our grandchildren. And I ask you this morning, what are you going to do about it? I say it's time to rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit. He had compassion on them because they were harassed. Harassed. Oppressed. Infected. There is no God. That's what our school systems are saying today. There is no God. You're a male, you could be a female. There is no God. God didn't create the male and female. God didn't do that. It's not God's design. He doesn't even exist. That's what's being taught, isn't it? Confusion, harassment. Harassed every time they enter into the school. Harassed, harassed, harassed. But the Bible says we have authority over Satan and over every demonic power in the name of Jesus. I have given you power to trample on scorpions and on all the powers of the evil one, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Can you shout amen this morning? That is our job. That is our calling in this hour. He said they're helpless. They're helpless. They walk out of your children's homes and they walk into the school and they're helpless. Because you have no right to tell the teacher what you want to be taught. Isn't that the truth? You're helpless. So we've got to engage him at his place of weakness, and that is spiritual realm. Hallelujah. On our knees praying. And when God gives an opportunity to stand up for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Hallelujah. We need to have a red vest. Not yellow, red. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus vest. And stand up, hallelujah. Go out your aches and pains. God's going to take care of them, hallelujah. Let's get our knees calloused in the name of Jesus. Let's get these knees calloused because we've been on our knees praying. For who? Praying for our children. Praying for our grandchildren. Are you hearing me this morning? That a mighty revival will sweep across this town. I've been in services where suddenly all the young people, children, I'm talking about children under the age of 12, just all automatically just stood up in service. With no prompting from the pastor. I was there at that service in Moncton, New Brunswick. I seen children. 9, 10, 11 years old, just stand up with no prompting from the pastor and just begin to file out of their pews with no one asking them to do it and just come to the front of the church with their hands in the air, receiving from the Holy Spirit. I don't know how it happened. I don't know and I don't understand how it took place, but when God in the house, things start happening. Hallelujah. I don't want church anymore. I don't want to go through the motions anymore. I want to see a revival. I want to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need it, folks. We need it.
There was a hunger in our hearts for God.
You know, you can be young and still have a hunger for God in your soul. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can be a child and hunger for more of God. It's not an adult thing. If your spirit has been reborn by the Spirit of the living God, you can hunger. Samuel, as a child, heard the voice of God. And I remember being at that altar as a 13-year-old boy. I remember my dad came over and laid his hands on my shoulder. And I felt electricity. Something I never felt before flow from my dad, my father, my dad, to my shoulder and into my spirit. And I started speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. No one had to say to me, "See my tie, tie, my tie, come tie, my bow tie." No one had to say that. But something powerful came into my spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And from that moment on, folks, I want you to know every single service and that camp meeting, as a 13-year-old child, I was the first one or the second one. Whoever could get to the altar first, we were there praying and calling out to God. You say, "That's impossible. That can't happen." With God, all things are possible. Amen. You know what I see and what I'm envisioning? These pews, these first four or five pews, are going to be filled with young hearts and young lives, with their hands in the air, praising the name of Jesus and glorifying the name of Jesus. I see you. Is that possible? I say to God, "Is it possible?" And God says back to me, "It is possible." Hallelujah. If I were you, I'd zero in on some young person and start making them my personal prayer project. Yes. Are you hearing me? Find one. 10, 9, 8 years old. 13, 14, maybe 15 years, 16 maybe. And say, "You know what? I'm going to pray for them. I am going to zero in on their lives until I see the Holy Spirit move like He's never moved before in their lives." And I say to you, it is possible. Amen. You know, so far all my kids are serving the Lord. So far. But if I had some that weren't, I don't think I could sleep every night comfortably until I see them come to know Jesus Christ. And if they have rejected the Lord, I would zero in on their children like I've never zeroed in on them before, to make sure they are given an opportunity to receive Christ into their lives. And friends, as a pastor, I stand with you today. If you have unsaved children and unsaved grandchildren, I stand with you today in the Spirit. I feel your pain and your burden, but I want you to know God.